Blog Talk Radio.
The following content may not be suitable for all audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're listening to the Radio Infidel Show live from the USA, bringing you the truth, the facts, and the light. Now, here's your host.
Oh, I think I like the new intro. Good evening and welcome to the Radio Info Show this April 26, 2021. Jay here with our executive producer and co-host Pepe Farms. BP is out this week. He apparently sprained his elbow. And our resident military security expert, Van Dieven, coming to you live from the USA. Coming up in our new segment this week, Facts with Dieven 26. And in our second half, Big Think with Pepe Farms. Giving him one and all. Pepe, great show lineup tonight. How was your week? And I'm sure you have a happy day in history for us.
Oh, you know it. Gem and intro, Jay. Greetings and salutations on this April 26th anniversary of the 1954 Salk polio vaccine. Field trials involving 1.8 million children began at the Franklin Sherman Elementary School in McLean, Virginia. I'm glad they were doing it to D.C. suburbs first. We're not allowed to talk about polio, according to some random glowy on the Donald. Yet, here we are.
Good evening, Demon. How are you doing? How are things this week?
I'm still on the correct side of the lawn, Jay. I don't have any fascinating little history tidbit like that. That's a pretty good one there.
You had a little issue with the guy on Gab today.
Oh, that Sally. Yeah, I bitch slapped him and sent him on his way. Jeez, oh, Pete, what a clown.
Okay, guys, here we go. Remember when we brought you the story of the Canadian pastor Arthur Pavlovsky last week? Well, the Gestapo, we're back.
Well, friends, we have a SWAT team in our church again, coming, authorities. So I'm going to go out and see what they want.
Yes, hello, Arthur.
Hi, Arthur. I can just give you a cup of tea for the course order. This is for you. It basically outlines the fact we have the right choice for today. What I would really...
Please, you don't have to get into our personal space. Thank you.
You're in my personal space. So
can I explain to you, Arthur?
I'm not really interested in what
you
have to say.
Can I explain to you?
I'm reading.
Okay. What we'd want to do is make sure that we're not going to disrupt anything with the service. The idea
but
is...
this is, you have a wrong, what? This is not street church. This is not street church. You have a wrong...
Both things are actually on there. Both churches are detailed on there. So if we could come and do...
The Cave of Adullam is not a registered organization. And this is not street church, so you have a wrong... You gotta do your homework first before you come, okay? You have a wrong organization.
Okay, that is for you, Arthur. Yeah. I will send it to you by email too, if you'd like. I just wanted to be able to come today and then at least explain the order, serve the order, and then we can stand at the back.
No, you can contact.
No.
You can contact my lawyer, okay? My lawyer takes care of this. I'm not interested to listen to any word you have to say. I do not cooperate with the Gestapo. I do not talk to the Nazis. You came in your uniforms like thugs. That's what you are. Brown shirts of Adolf Hitler. You are Nazi, Gestapo, communist, fascist. I do not cooperate with Nazis. Talk to my lawyer. You're not allowed here. You're not welcomed here. And I'm not going to cooperate with Gestapo like you, okay? So is that fair enough for you?
Okay,
talk to my lawyer.
I just wanted to explain a little bit about the order.
I'm not interested.
I just wanted to at least have a conversation.
I'm not interested in talking. You see, this is what the Gestapo is doing. You're coming to the place of worship to intimidate and to harass. So you can make an appointment. Lady, listen to me. You can make an appointment another day.
Okay.
You Gestapo.
You don't need to shout.
Another day. Not this day. Not this day!
Okay.
Not during the church!
Okay.
You understand? Make an appointment!
Okay, fine.
Okay, so go!
See you later on. Have a good day.
You are sick. That's what you are. And rightfully so, you change your uniforms to black because you're exactly acting like the Gestapo of old.
I'll tell you, by the way, guys, the lady in this video, if you've seen the video, is the same one in the previous video. And I would like to just smack the case out of her mouth. Anyway, Podolsky has refused to discontinue service or aid to local homeless throughout the entire duration of the COVID-19 lockdowns and has accumulated nearly 30 tickets for these violations. Canadian police have interrupted church services twice in violation of Canadian Criminal Code, I'm not going to read it, in order to perform checks to ensure the church is following COVID social distancing protocols. Guys, to me, this guy is a hero. Pepe?
Oh, yes, he sure is, Jay. And it's important to point out, he's not stopping these people from coming over and checking out the church. He's only pissed off when they come during a church service, because any serving of a civil process during a church service is explicitly illegal under the Canadian Criminal Code. So, you know, in this encounter, she even tried using a different business entity's name to circumvent going to the lawyer, saying, oh, well, it's served to this name instead of the other one. It's just despicable.
Yeah, I agree. Demon.
I never thought I'd see anything like this in a civilized Western country, Jay, but I guess we don't have civilized Western countries anymore. The gall, the absolute hubris, Canadian government, that's Quebec, I believe. And some of that stuff apparently is going on here in the USA as well. It's insanity. And we've got to revoke our consent. All of our nations were governed by the consent of the people, and history has held this out alongside of the actual words in the Constitution. Police are leaving in droves in the U.S., and I think we all need to get together, reform our own governments, and start arresting these criminals, because that's what they are. They're no longer politicians. You're a public servant. You're the hired help, son.
Yeah, but, you know, it seems like that is falling away more and more each day.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were having a little discussion about this on the chat the other day. Do we know for a fact that we've ever really had fair and honest elections in the United States? Because remember, there were a bunch of pissed off Europeans when America was founded, and that was only a few hundred years ago. You know, that's only, three grandfathers ago. All of the nobility of Europe still thinks America is theirs.
Yeah, it's
not.
Nine times. Go ahead, Demon.
It's not. It's not theirs.
Well, who has you wearing masks every day and closing down all the businesses and preventing international travel?
Well, those are fair questions. I don't need to travel internationally. I don't wear a mask. And most of our Michigan businesses are now open, and a lot of people are starting to ignore all of this crap.
Yes, thank goodness.
Well, thank God. Okay, gents, last week we gave our predictions in the Derek Chauvin trial. I believe I said guilty. How did everybody do on theirs? Pepe?
Well, my answer was yes, and I think I nailed it. As the alternate juror explained it all, the guilty verdict was delivered to appease mob violence. And as I suspected, the judge declined to rule on the obvious mistrial. He did tell the defense, you probably got something on appeal. Chauvin was found both guilty and not guilty by the same trial. Now it's just a question of which comes first. He, air quotes, kills himself in prison, gets shanked in prison, or gets out on appeal.
Well, that's a fair assessment. Demon, what was your prediction? Do you remember?
At that time, my brain was still pretending that the USA exists and we have rule of law. And the evidence all said, obviously, not guilty. Well, silly me, that got proven wrong. Chauvin wasn't convicted by that court or by that jury. He was convicted through fear, intimidation, harassment, and flat-out manipulation of the courts. We're responding to a mafia at this point. Jurors felt threatened. What is going on in this country that was allowed?
Yeah. No, you're. But here's the thing I found odd, guys. Nearly 3 weeks of evidence and only 10 hours of deliberation with lunch and dinner breaks. Pepe?
Well, the state was just going through the motions, and the jurors were ignoring their duty. I'm surprised it took that long.
Demon?
Yeah, I completely agree with that, Pepe. The jury ignored the evidence that was presented them by the defense completely, but they did it out of fear. There's the one juror who was interviewed who was terrified that the city was going to burn again if they dared to vote not guilty.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, you know, though, I thought it was interesting, guys. You remember, I don't remember the judge's name, but when defense wanted a mistrial because of Mad Maxine, that he spoke out and said, well, you may have something on appeal to have this whole thing turned over. And even Alan Dershowitz was like, I have never in, whatever, 50 years of practice had heard a judge say this. Pepe?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I meant by my comment, that he was found both guilty and not guilty in the same trial, because the judge flat out said, we know you're not guilty, but you're guilty anyway.
Yeah. Demon, what do you think?
Oh, by law, this is an instant mistrial because of the political interference and the clear juror intimidation. But I don't think we have law here anymore.
No, well, that's perfectly clear that you're right about that. Okay, let's do some new predictions. Overturn on appeal, yes or no, and why or why not, Pepe?
Well, government will just try and play out the clock, hoping Chauvin has an unfortunate accident. They'll try and get a new trial in another jurisdiction, but the whole country is tainted now. If there's any justice left, he'll get out eventually, but it won't be during Biden's dementia-riddled rule.
You don't mean he will Epstein himself?
Of course not.
That or Arkansas.
Demon, go ahead, buddy.
Man, this is... I think what's going to happen here is the media is going to memory hole this and never mention his name again. I think they're just going to try and memory hole him.
Yeah, they're already moving on to new cops. There's the emergency declared in a city in North Carolina over a guy that was driving away that got shot. And there's another cop that's just been indicted for a 2018 shooting, which was another cop jumping in front of a car and shooting the driver incident. But he also just shot another black guy in the middle of the street with a knife, basically executed him, shot to the head. So they've already got their new scapegoats lined up.
Now, in some plus news, let's circle back. Oh, God, I hate that. I can't believe I even said that. Let's go back to the Atlanta officers. You remember that case? Now, they've been reinstated, I believe. Is that not true?
I do not know. I don't have any visibility on that one. I didn't notice that in the news feed.
The officers that shot the guy that took their taser?
Yeah.
I
don't remember them getting persecuted like the other officers had. But I'll see if I can follow up on that.
Yeah, check into that for me if you would, buddy. Okay, Jesus, Joseph, and Mary on this one. I apologize in advance. Oscars Hollywood erects walls to keep celebrities safe during the Academy Awards Sunday. The perimeter around the Union Station is cordoned off by security fences, and entrances to the building are blocked by similar structures. Signs posted to the fences bear a stark warning. This is private property. It's closed to the public. No entry without permission. The security fence runs completely counter to the anti-border wall mantras which flood out of Hollywood. From the hedging in the Trump's Hollywood star with an artistic rendition of a border wall during the 2016 presidential campaign, reported by Breitbart, to the 28 celebrities who came out against the border wall during the same campaign season. Business Insider listed the celebrities as George Clooney, Matt Damon, Johnny Depp, Lady Gaga, John Oliver, J.K. Rowling, blah, 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 you know the names. It was Academy Award-winning director Barry Jenkins, who in 2019 said, quote, no walls, no borders, fuck him, unquote, in a reference to then President Donald Trump during a rant in front of the star-studded crowd at the National Board of Review Awards. Nobody wants in their shit matches, and God, no one even watched the damn thing. Pepe, do you have the numbers for the shit show?
Well, let's see. According to the Wrap, Sunday's hostless Oscars drew a 1.9 rating among adults 18 to 49 and 9.85 million total viewers, setting new record lows. That's a 50% drop from last year's dismal numbers. I certainly didn't watch it. My entire knowledge of the event comes from that Wrap article and Ricky Gervais's Twitter lament. It's the Oscars tonight. I wasn't invited. Was it something I said?
Oh, God, I love that moment with him. Go ahead, Demon.
Yeah, this is what a farce that was. The Oscars were on, Jay. I didn't even know they were on. I was busy cleaning my vacuum cleaner and bleaching cutting boards all night. I totally missed it, man.
Nice.
I thought maybe you might have been cooking, but okay. Now,
all right, so quick follow-up here, Jay. As of 2 days ago, one of the officers involved in that Atlanta shooting who is facing felony murder charges wants his job back. So he's going through the administrative process to be reinstated. Okay. The chief of police resigned immediately after the shooting, but administratively he can probably get his job back.
I thought I saw when she testified that the ex-chief that you're talking about, where she stated that, well, it was extraordinary circumstances, not following department guidelines. That's why I asked about it. But thank you for checking that out, buddy. I appreciate it. Okay, guys. Best way to do this one is just play audio soundbite Biden, Pepe.
Here we go.
We're helping ourselves. We're helping others in this endeavor. It really is important. And I just want to say one thing to Bert of the Navajo Nation. Let my wife come home. She likes the Navajo Nation too much. She keeps being out there. She's out there for 2 days. She was out there before. I don't know. You know what I mean? I called her. I said, where are you? She said, oh, I'm staying another day. So, let her come home, okay? I don't want her, that's too far for me to commute. I shouldn't be so. But anyway, look, this is about what we can do together.
Now it is my pleasure to turn to Special Envoy Kerry for some final thoughts.
Before you go, John, can I add one thing to this panel, if I may? Every once in a while, you are confronted as a government official, a business leader, a labor leader. Every single one of you, the business leaders, labor leaders, foreign leaders, leaders of other parts of the world. Patty Young owns a hair salon in Springfield, Ohio. She's also dedicated to getting her customers and employees vaccinated, that when they leave the saloon, the salon, they've maybe gone to a saloon, I don't know.
Maybe he's been to the saloon. What the
Apparently.
Fuck is he talking about? This was Dumbledore speaking to our other world leaders at, I think it was a climate summit or some shit. Hell, he didn't even know where he was. Guys, I mean, what the fuck? And Pepe, your favorite audio soundbite, flags, please.
These white supremacists, Nazi sympathizers, carrying Nazi fags, using the exact same jargon used, anti-Semitic jargon used as it was used in Germany in the 30s.
Well, you heard it right, folks. He did not say flags. Somehow I feel attacked. Pepe?
I know, right, Jay? Full disclosure, I did edit out the part where he corrected himself, but I don't think Nazi fags, flags, Jewsing is much better.
Demon.
I can't, you guys. I can't even. I wanted to curl up into a ball listening to that. This is supposed to be the, quote, leader of the United States of America, and he's walking around carrying Nazi fags. I mean, was he hanging out in the Tenderloin District in San Francisco or something? What the hell is going on here?
Oh, my God. That.
Yeah,
that
Joe Biden and Joe Biden in a micro one-piece bikini is.
Nope. Nope.
Don't do that.
Nope.
Pepe, just don't. Oh, Lord, I'm smiling.
I bleach. I bleach.
Oh, I got to get back on track here. Okay. President Trump is no longer the leader of the Republican Party. House GOP Conference Chair Diz Cheney said today, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy should be considered the national heads of the party, she said. Now, guys, what do you think her chances of even being around after 2022?
Well, Jay, 2022, I guess it depends on if she took the Fauci ouchie. Or do you mean politically? We shall see politically. America First is doing some great grassroots work beating the DSA at their own game, so it's anybody's guess, but I'm rooting for Fuentes.
Oh, Lord, I'm still tore up on that last segment. Demon, go ahead, buddy.
I don't. What does Cheney? What is she even? Who is she? She doesn't. She's a representative, yes, but I'm just at a loss for words for these people. They're just such utter frauds. The Republican Party is a tragic waste, and it just needs to be cleaned out completely. Get rid of them all. Get rid of them all.
Well,
we've got an election coming. Let's get rid of these idiots.
I don't think she will fare well in the next one, but that's just me. Okay, guys, as multiple cameras provide full transparency to the election audit currently underway in Maricopa County, Arizona, reports are that auditors are already finding evidence of systemic election fraud that will delegitimize President Joe Biden's administration, embarrass the GOP establishment, and could lead to multiple criminal prosecutions. On Sunday, forensic experts confirmed they are examining thousands of ballots cast in November as part of the audit in the Grand Canyon State. They are using ultraviolet lights to search for ballot watermarks and weed out phony ballots. Additionally, auditors have been split into several groups, with some examining mail-in ballots and others inspecting ballot folders, envelopes, along with other related items. Officials say evidence of systemic fraud has already started to show. Now, I'll tell you guys, this audit has been nuts. It's on again, off again, on again, off again. Now, if there was no nefarious bullshit in this election, why would the Dems not want an audit so they can just say, hey, we told you so? Pepe.
Well, their claim is they're concerned that security will allow dirty Republicans to switch votes and produce a fake audit. And we're still only getting really friend of a friend reports, so who knows what's really going on. As far as the ultraviolet lights, they were looking at documents with ultraviolet lights, but we still don't have any confirmation that there were any watermarks. One thing you can do with ultraviolet light or any alternate light sources is look for different kinds of inks. So they may have been looking for, you know, overmarks or that kind of thing. The video is mesmerizing, though. One thing of note that did come out, I think, just yesterday, there's members of the red team have been photographing particular ballots, so it does seem like they have found something that they're reporting on internally. Again, there are no official reports. Everything's just a guess so far.
I went on I don't even remember what it was today. Apparently, there are 9 cameras on this process, and, God, I wish I could remember who. But somebody or some outlet posted all 9 cameras that you could watch.
Yeah, the auditing people themselves posted those cameras.
Yeah, yeah.
I posted a chart that's readily available that defines what all the tables are and what's happening at each table and where the cameras are, so you can better follow
Where did you post it on Gab?
Yeah, well, no, it's in our super secret chat, but I've seen it on Gab and the Donald and other places.
Okay.
I'll give that to you after the show.
I might have got it from you. Hell, I don't know. Go ahead, Demon.
Yeah, it's comical. We know that the second the Democrats say, oh, the GOP is going to switch votes, well, anytime they say something, that's what they've been doing the whole time. I said when this went off on November 5th and 6th, what we need to do with this dang vote count is resurrect Don King, do it at Madison Square Garden, and have, you know what ring girls are in boxing matches?
Yep.
They walk around with the cards for the round.
Yep.
Have ring girls hold up every damn vote and slam it into the thing that it belongs in, one for Biden, one for Trump, just like that. Turn it into a national spectacle. Get freaking James Brown. We got to bring him back from the dead. There's a bunch of people we need to bring back from the dead to do this right. I want Clint Eastwood on security. I want John Wayne on security. I want who's the guy from Death Wish? Help me out real fast. You know who I'm talking about. Charles Bronson.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
This needs to be a national spectacle when we count votes, so there is no question, and every vote gets seen on camera and paraded around.
Let's get ready to rumble,
no.
Indeed. About the on-again, off-again thing, the latest that I heard was since the Democrats refused to put up $1 million bond, the case judge was changed because an intern of his is on the good guys team. The case will likely not even get heard until after the audit is complete. So basically, no matter what the Democrats do now, it seems there's no way they can stop it.
That's what I understand, too. Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
Okay,
but PayPal
guys.
Did pull funding for the Patriots providing security. So if anyone can go out of their way to find out how to help fund them, it's the right thing to do.
Of course they do. Now, what is that site that funded for Kyle Rittenhouse?
It's a Christian. Christian group that provides funding.
Yeah.
It's like Give Go or it has a catchy little name that I cannot remember right now, Jay. So.
Off the top of my head, I can't think of it. But you know, maybe that's a route they could take.
Exactly.
Who knows? Anyway. Okay, big news, guys. This is big. You ready? You sitting down?
Yep.
Apparently, Kamala Harris has busted the move on the border crisis. Yep, that's right. She is sending copies of her book, Superheroes Are Everywhere, or whatever the fuck it's called, in care packages to the children. Those superheroes are everywhere. You're just not one of them, Kamala. Of course, it's drawing backlash. Quote, why is the Biden regime using taxpayer dollars to provide illegal immigrants entering the U.S. with a copy of Kamala's children's book? Boebert wrote on Twitter. And, quote, Kamala is now saying we're making progress on Biden's border crisis. This is Cathorn tweeted. Quote, she must be referring to her progress on book sales. I freaking love that one. And, of course, Harris claims, and the White House, they claim no knowledge of this whatsoever. But, you know, guys, I sure hope it was a Spanish version, Pepe. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it will have to be for the busloads of 35-year-old males that are claiming that they're minors. And, of course, the White House press sniffy said she'd have to circle back on that one. She does say that she hears it's a good book, though.
Yeah, of course, demon.
It's just such. On top of the sheer hubris of the action itself, this is such obvious money laundering. This is how these politicians go into office with salaries that are okay. You're a lawyer, you make $100,000 a year, but they come out now, these Democrat politicians, with millions upon millions of dollars. And this is one of the ways they do it. This is freaking. She's money laundering her books.
Exactly, because you can't tell me that not one fucking person in that administration had any idea that these books are going into these care packages.
Jay, I've spent enough time around that world to know that there's literally no way that nobody knew that that was happening. It's literally no way.
I just, I don't know. Anyway.
Well, of course.
All right, guys. Now, go ahead, Pepe.
Of course, if it wasn't Camel Toe's book, it'd just be Caitlyn Jenner's book, The Secrets of My Life. So, careful what you wish for.
Well, now be careful. Be careful. She might be the next governor of California.
You know it.
Okay.
Oh my God.
All right, guys. Now, last week we brought you the Florida's new anti-riot law. Now, anyone that lives in Florida knows the name Sheriff Gritty Judd of Polk County. The no-nonsense sheriff had a message for people moving to Florida at the signing of the new law. Audio soundbite, Grady, please, Bentley.
I've got something I want you to see. This is what we enjoy in Florida. This is the Florida we know and love. This is what our governor, our speaker, our president, this is what all these law enforcement officers and administrators and sheriffs and police chiefs and their officers do every day. They guarantee an environment where you can come here and have fun. Heck, you can even have more fun. Here's another picture. This is the Florida we know and love. We're a special place. And there are millions and millions of people who like to come here. And quite frankly, we like to have them here. So we only want to share one thing as you move in hundreds a day. Welcome to Florida. But don't register to vote and vote the stupid way you did up north. You'll get what they got. There's a reason that this place is fun. There's a reason why we have a 49-year low crime rate. And the same people that don't think we should have an anti-rioting bill or a rioting bill are the same ones that think we ought to let more people out of prison. And where they're doing that, as the governor and our speakers have alluded to, crime goes up. But it's not just crime that goes up. Victimization goes up. The people in those states are hurt and killed, and their livelihoods changed, and their children are changed.
I'll tell you, I lived in Polk County for about 5 years. I love this guy. He does not pull any punches. If you've ever seen any of his press conferences, you know, he is without a doubt the most well-known sheriff in Polk County, Florida. Pepe.
Yeah, that's great, Jay. He's the antithesis of Florida guy for sure. In other news from Florida today, a Florida family may spend life in prison after their non-religious church sold bleach online as a COVID cure. So you've got both ends of the spectrum down there, Jay.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Demon.
That's what needs to be happening, and I applaud that sheriff for crying out loud. We've got a fairly decent one here ourselves. He's refused to enforce any of Dictatrix Whitmer's China virus nonsense. So he hasn't gone as far as your guy down there in Polk County. This guy's really on the ball. I like this guy a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. There are a lot of sheriffs that are taking that stand, but this is a one-of-a-kind guy. Okay, folks, our big new segment, Facts with Demon26. Take it away, Demon.
Thanks, Jane. All right, a lot of people can listen to me rattle on about the Battle of Athens, Tennessee. I go off on it all the time. Well, tonight I'm going to give you the rest of the story. And thank you, Paul Harvey, wherever you are. In 1936, Malcolm Paul Cantrell was elected as the McMinn County Sheriff in Tennessee. Eventually rose to the level of state senator and chairman of both the McMinn County Court and McMinn County Democratic Party. Cantrell used this power to allow his deputies to intimidate and attack its political opposition by allowing ineligible people to vote, sounds familiar, and prevent otherwise eligible people from voting. In addition, Cantrell allowed gambling and other illegal activities to take place under his watch and actively profited from this during his time in office. This came to a head during the election of 1946, where Cantrell attempted to pass his position as a senator to a man named Mansfield. This transition would allow Cantrell to return to his position as sheriff before his ultimate plan to run as the governor of Tennessee. Now, at that time, 1946, servicemen were returning from World War II, and they were receiving letters from home from their families regarding the abuse of power that was taking place. And things only became worse as the war ended and these men started to return home, only to be arrested for public drunkenness or simply having a beer since they were not part of the established group paying off the sheriffs for privilege. This was a shakedown scam that sheriff was using. This unwelcome return home by their fellow countrymen during drove these veterans to start organizing and meeting in order to oust this corrupt machine. Frustrated with the situation, these men started to form their own nonpartisan ticket in order to secure the sheriff's office and end the corruption. A man from the Army Air Corps named Knox Henry was selected to be their first candidate for sheriff. Election day was to take place on August 1st, and before that, Sheriff Pat Mansfield mustered 250 men, including prison guards and released prisoners, for the express purposes of controlling and manipulating the election. On election day, a local farmer named Tom Gillespie, who incidentally happened to be black, was punched and shot by Deputy Clifford Wise when attempting to go in and vote for GI candidate Knox. Tom Gillespie survived his injuries. Deputy Wise was sentenced to 3 years at the Tennessee State Pen. He only served about a year of that before being paroled, too. He never returned to Athens, Tennessee. The shooting by Deputy Clifford Windy Wise took place in full view of two members of the newly formed GI nonpartisan ticket who were poll watching, named Scott and Vestal. Scott and Vestal escaped the situation under gunfire, sparking a panic in the crowd, under which the ballot box was then taken by the sheriffs to the McMinn County jailhouse. Several deputies were sent to arrest Scott and Vestal, but were disarmed and detained, as were their reinforcements. The deputies were walked out into the woods, stripped, and tied to trees. I kind of like that one. It was at this point that the GI faction realized they weren't going to get a fair election, and so they made the decision to arm themselves. To gain additional weaponry, the GIs drove to the National Guard Armory and raided it for arms and ammunition. They got three M1 Garands, five M1911 pistols, 60 M1917 Enfield rifles, and a couple of Thompson submachine guns. They, a lot of them also had Colt 45 revolvers of their own. Some owned double-barrel shotguns. They made a bunch of Molotov cocktails and got a hold of some dynamite as well. Well, the now heavily armed GIs returned to the jailhouse and took up position across the street in a boarding house, which sat atop a small hill. It was well-covered and an extremely advantageous place to lay siege to the jailhouse. GIs took up position and yelled across the street for the ballot boxes to be released, to which the Cantrell, Mansfield, and sheriffs flatly refused. This all boiled over as Bill White raised his firearm. Sources can't determine if it was a revolver or a rifle. That doesn't matter. Bill White fired the first shot of the Battle of Athens. Gunfire ensued from both sides as round after round, punctuated by bursts from the Thompsons, rang out from the GI's position. The sheriffs returned fire while some attempted to flee. One deputy was shot in the leg, and another was shot through the hand and the lower jaw. At some point during the battle, the only known official picture taken of the photo of the men in the house shooting was taken by a member of the Knoxville Journal. It shows a couple of the GIs just bunkered down in a window there real good with Enfields. Sheriffs called the National Guard for reinforcement, and the GIs caught wind of this news and knew that if the battle lasted until morning, they'd face some pretty harsh punishment. Itching to get the battle over, the GIs resorted to throwing Molotov cocktails at the jailhouse, but were only able to score a couple of hits. They flipped over one of the police cruisers in the middle of the street with some dynamite. Then they switched over to Molotov cocktails, but they couldn't get them hefted far enough to reach the jailhouse to do any damage. It only flipped over a couple of the now burnt police cruisers. Bill White resorted to crawling across the street to place bundled charges on the porch of the jailhouse, while other sources say charges were also made it to the roof and another destroyed a jail wall. After three successive and devastating blasts of dynamite, followed by a strong volley of gunfire, the sheriffs in the building and the rest of them all gave up. So now that battle is over. After the conclusion, the ballot boxes were secured and counted, leading to a Knox victory. They counted them right in the middle of the street in front of everybody, held them up one at a time, just like I was talking about earlier. The streets were lined with destroyed police and sheriff vehicles. Many of them were without license plates. Curiously, the mayor of Athens was not in town at the time, and the city policemen were completely absent from the city. All in all, the group of GIs had wrested control from Cantrell and Mansfield, and those two fled the house during the night. They left the jailhouse during the night, just got out of there. they left in an ambulance, which the GIs thought was there to rescue the wounded, so the GIs let that ambulance pass. Now the town was buzzing with a state of euphoria because of the election results. The GIs calmly awaited their expected punishment for their actions. However, Governor McCord of Tennessee rescinded his order to activate the National Guard, and the GIs maintained control of the county until Knox Henry was officially installed as sheriff on September 1st. The punishment the GIs feared never came, as they patiently guarded the town of Athens, and the transition of power was peaceful. Sheriff Knox would go on to destroy the illegal gambling machines that were fueling the corrupt Cantrell machine and enforce a fair rule of law in the country. That's the breakdown of what really happened at the Battle of Athens, Tennessee. Now, I want to circle back for just a second to how this got started with this Cantrell character. Listen to some of the stuff. He used intimidation. He used his own deputies. He used prison thugs that he set out of prison. He stole elections. He stole ballot boxes. He hid them away. He destroyed things so that people couldn't get to the election information. This, folks, is a microcosm of exactly what we're experiencing in the United States of America, and particularly in Arizona and also in Antrim, Michigan right now. Now, Jay, what do you think about this little incident in 1946?
I think this is absolutely fascinating, and I've never heard this fact before.
I've known about the battle for some time, but I hadn't read it in great detail until a couple of weeks ago. Pepe, what are your thoughts on this thing here?
Yeah, the parallels with the Dixiecrat tactics that have gone national are quite telling, and it's a good thing that the GIs got home when they did.
Yeah. I will post a link to the article that I read from tonight out on Gab for everybody to take a look at. Folks, this is this Athens, Tennessee incident with this Malcolm Paul Cantrell character is exactly what's going on in the United States of America today on a giant scale. All of us here, a lot of the listeners as well, I know you watched the elections. I watched them here in Michigan, and I watched at 1:04 a.m. Trump had a massive lead. He had 70% of the state. I woke up in the morning, and Biden had just enough to win. That's why, people, I hammer on the Battle of Athens, Tennessee. Read the whole story. It's not about the gunfight. The gunfight is incidental. It's about Americans stepping up and doing what's right and throwing corrupt politicians out on their butts. The instructions are in the Declaration of Independence.
And it's high time we do this.
Yes, it absolutely is. Absolutely is. That's quite enough of this crap. And Jay, that just about wraps up my little tirade there.
All right, buddy. I mean, I'm... Make sure you tag us on Gab on that story, if you would.
Oh, I will. I will.
All right. Great segment, Demon. Okay, folks, that is the midway point. On the other side, Big Think with Pepe Farms. Follow us on gab.com/Radio Infidel Show. We fall all pictures back. Grab yourself a Georgia sweet tea. Hit the can. We'll be right back.
Oh,
Welcome back to the Radio Infidel Show with Big Think with Pepe Farms Remembers in observation of the polio vaccine anniversary today. Let's hit it.
Swine flu, Nazis, and the master of the ouchie, Dr. Fauci, tonight on Big Think with Pepe Farms Remembers. Don't know what you don't know. That doesn't mean you're ignorant or somehow mentally deficient, as Blue Anon would have you believe. Nor does it mean the smartest person in the room is the one that asks the most questions. It does, however, mean that the quickest path to enlightenment is discovering things that you don't know. Well, today I learned that you are not allowed to question anything about polio. For me, such directives have always been more of a challenge than a discouragement, so of course I had to find out what all the fuss was about. Polio, as we have all been taught, is a paralytic disease caused by a polio virus. Or is it? The $50 billion a year vaccine industry is certain of it, and they have cemented this truth in popular culture with endless advertising campaigns disguised as research papers, lavish parties, and the ubiquitous slutty pharmaceutical rep. Ask your doctor if blue pill is right for you. Their entire business model hinges on the acceptance of the miracle that was the polio vaccine, and their goal of doubling revenue in 5 years with COVID is well underway. Now we know why questioning polio is verboten, because the entire house of cards falls apart if you rip out the base. So what did happen with polio? The same thing they are doing today with COVID. As we all know, the COVID pandemic was a reclassification of the seasonal flu. According to the CDC, there were no excess deaths in 2020, and we are on track for having no excess deaths in 2021. The same number of people died of flu-like symptoms as usually do, with the vast majority of those people, unfortunately, being likely to pass away for other reasons. The flu is just another symptom of the underlying health problems, not the ultimate cause of death. Of course, we don't have seasonal polio, though, so how could reclassifying diseases have played a part? This all circles back to the new medicine of the 50s, previous to which diseases like syphilis, poisonings, and other nervous system infections were all diagnosed as polio. These diseases were in rapid decline worldwide long before the polio vaccine was developed. And yet, when the vaccine was released, they changed the diagnosis for polio. A polio diagnosis post-vaccine required at least 60 days paralysis over the previous 20-day criteria. So they changed the reporting criteria just as they have with COVID. What else could have caused widespread paralysis? Well, it turns out they knew, at least as far back as 1945, that neurotoxic pesticides like arsenic compounds, DDT, and others cause polio. It also turns out that polio rates in the U.S. follow exactly the deployment of the 3 billion pounds of these neurotoxins that were used. The curtailing of neurotoxic pesticide use correlates exactly with the polio rate. These factors alone mitigate any claim that the polio vaccine cured anything at all. And in fact, medicine admits the vaccine itself created a whole new named polio disease. What about mad cow disease? Yeah, they were spraying the cows with similar neurotoxic pesticides. As observed by many, and to quote one particular anon, a clear, direct, one-to-one relation between pesticides and polio over a period of 30 years, with pesticides preceding polio incidents in the context of the central nervous system-related physiology just described, leaves little room for complicated virus arguments, even as a cofactor, unless there exists a rigorous proof for virus causation. Polio shows no movement independent from pesticide movement, as one would expect for the virus model. Similar results for all the major viral diseases follow suit. The diseases claimed to be cured by vaccine were declining on a long-term trend before the associated vaccines were released, and similar reclassification of disease was employed to reinforce vaccine efficacy opinion. You just don't know what you don't know. So with polio fabricated from whole cloth to cover up global insecticide poisonings, the stage was set for the 1976 swine flu pandemic that was nothing of the sort. As we've discussed before, a single soldier dying during a forced march and a paranoid belief in an 11-year pandemic cycle led the, quote, best and brightest to mandate injecting an experimental vaccine worldwide. And then they did it again and again, with even in 2009 another swine flu pandemic that never was. The government working with industry to mitigate liability for large-scale poisoning sounds eerily like the 1980s Austrian wine scandal, an event which culminated in government working with industry to determine how much poison could be sold as food without causing death and without tipping off, informing the consumer. Are these simply the overenthusiastic actions of altruistic people and organizations, or hucksters motivated purely by greed, or worse? With the prospects of a $100 billion industry at risk, the words of retired Merck CEO Ken Frazier have new meaning. While commenting on his 2021 retirement, Ken Frazier famously boasted, quote, 30 years ago, Merck's aggressive chief executive Henry Gadsden told Fortune magazine of his distress that the company's potential markets had been limited to sick people, suggesting he'd rather Merck be more like chewing gum maker Wrigley's. Gadsden said it had long been his dream to make drugs for healthy people, because then Merck would be able to, quote, sell to everyone. 3 decades on, the late Henry Gadsden's dream has come true. So, at least since 1965, one of the largest industrial medical complex has devoted itself to peddling drugs like a checkout lane impulse purchase. Drugs for healthy people for no reason other than profit, as a stated goal. In the words of Cat Williams,
because these motherfuckers hate real motherfuckers. If you a real motherfucker, understand they hate every goddamn thing about you. These motherfuckers hate real motherfuckers. I'm going to give you a prime fucking example. They supposed to be putting medicine in America to help motherfuckers feel better, to help you live better. But these motherfuckers don't give a fuck about the medicine. They out making their motherfucking money. They give you one medication supposed to fix some shit, and the side effect fuck up your leg and shit. Then they give you another one to fix that, and it fuck up your arm, and now you on two medications looking like a flamingo in front of your motherfucking children and shit. These motherfuckers don't give a fuck. Just 1 month, they say this is the best medicine ever. It'll cure everything. And then 3 months later, you hear this quiet ass commercial. Have you or one of your loved ones been killed from using our medicine? Dial 1-800-R-BAD. That's 1-800-R-BAD. These motherfuckers don't give a fuck.
Perhaps truer words have never been spoken. So how do Ouchie Fauci and the Nazis fit into all of this? Many of us are aware of Project Paperclip, the importation of former Nazi scientists most famously deployed in NASA, but there was also a partner program, Project Rusty, that absorbed former Nazi intelligence assets. Both projects were fundamentally continuations of the research conducted in pre-war Germany, with former Nazi spies on both sides of the Iron Curtain feeding fear porn to both the East and West with the apparent intention of driving biochemistry research to meet their eugenics-inspired goals. Fat wads of cash didn't hurt either. With former spies in the UK buying up prestigious scientific journals and the original group of former Nazis handing their work off to their protégés, the stage was set for an explosion of, quote, better life through chemicals and all the problems they cause, with conveniently discovered new cures to cure the new diseases ad infinitum. Brand new chemicals for healthy people. The protégés learned well, and among the first of the new generation was our master of ouchies, Dr. Fauci, who after joining in 1968 became the head of the National Institute of Health's Clinical Physiology section in 1974. Just in time to lead the push for the 1976 experimental swine flu vaccine. Dr. Fauci went on to become director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases section of the NIH, appropriately in 1984. So fundamentally, we've had our entire approach to disease in the U.S., and by extension the world, managed by this single psychopath, who time and time again has injected experimental medical devices into as many people as he could, all in the spirit of his predecessors who inspired the Nuremberg Code forbidding medical testing in humans. So who are some of these great men that Dr. Fauci reveres? It's a long and tangled road, but there are direct connections with those former Nazi scientists and intelligence operatives to people like Robert Maxwell. After World War II, Maxwell worked as a polyglot intelligence officer in Germany, using his many languages to interrogate prisoners, while telling acquaintances his greatest desire was to get rich. With his intelligence connections, Maxwell was tapped to run a British intelligence operation designed to elevate Britain's standing in the scientific world. British scientific journals at the time were haphazardly funded by the Royal Society, so a scheme was hatched to buy up the most prestigious journals to further enable and forever enshrine British accomplishment. Advertising dollars spent by the new pharmaceutical companies was and still is directed towards these journals, and the system we have today was born. And who is this Robert Maxwell? The name should sound familiar, because his daughter's sex slave ring partner didn't kill himself. Yes, that Maxwell, the father of the chicken jail for a blackmail and extortion scheme, who also coincidentally convened bioscience-themed billionaire parties on his pedo island. For a deep dive into the connections between Nazi scientists, Nazi spies, and the narrative being run by the psychopaths in control, check out Amazing Polly on BitChute and at AmazingPolly.net, where she details the interrelationships and corruption at the very heart of the industrial medical complex. Her videos, Medical Journals Corrupt to the Core, and Maxwell Epstein and the Control of Science Since World War II, are a great start for my fellow rabbit hole hunters. So I don't know about all of you out there in Radioland, but the more I learn about the medical-industrial complex, the less proven their dogma appears. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Awesome stuff, Pepe and Demon. That was really, really good stuff. Final thoughts, Pepe?
Great show, Jay, and I'll leave you with this great summertime tip. When your COVID-vaccinated, vaccine-paralyzed H-1B red dot guests finally break quarantine and join you at your pool party, use name tags. Marco Polio is problematic when everybody's named Bob.
Yeah, I kind of lost it there a little bit. Final thoughts there, Demon.
I can't follow that, Jay. Get out of here. That's a good piece, Pepe. That's a good piece.
Well, thank you.
Way to mic drop on the end there.
Yeah, I had nothing. Absolutely nothing. Thanks to my co-hosts, Puppy Farms and Demon Juice 6. Thanks to our listeners, as without you, well, it just wouldn't be as much fun. Join us on Gab at the Radio Info Show. Get us out of here, Pepe.